Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight for the third quarterly community crime prevention meeting. And thank you for everyone who's here in person and tuning in online. My name is Sergeant Ben Ransom, and I help with the crime prevention unit with Officer Megan Drake, who couldn't be here tonight. We're going to start off by saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, before we start off our presentations for tonight, I'm going to just turn it over quickly to Chief Jim Greenwood.
Thank you, Ben. Good evening, everyone. Thank you to everybody who's joined us here in the room and anybody out there on the internet and anybody who watches this in the future, which is bizarre, but it's real. Once again, thank you. And I'm Chief Jim Greenwood. It's my pleasure to welcome you here tonight. We have an informative and engaging agenda planned for you with several key topics and updates that are important to our community's safety and well-being. First, we're honored to have speakers from the Illinois Attorney General's Office, Kathleen McGowan, who will be discussing the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. This is a critical issue, and Kathleen's insights will help us better understand how to protect our children in the digital age. Next, we will provide follow-up information regarding the River Forest Bike Exchange. This initiative has been a great success. We're excited to share the latest developments and how you can continue to participate next year's bike exchange. We will also preview the 2025 Junior Citizens Police Academy. The program is designed to engage our youth and provide them with a unique opportunity to learn about law enforcement and community service. Additionally, we're going to discuss the new ordinance regarding e-bikes and e-scooters. This is an important update that affects many of our residents, and we want to ensure everyone is informed about the new regulations and safety guidelines. Finally, we'll cover other community events and updates that are relevant to our ongoing efforts to keep River Forest a safe and vibrant place to live and visit. Thank you for your continued support and participation. Together, we can make a positive impact on our community. I look forward to a productive and informative meeting. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Chief. Okay, to start off the meeting, we have our special guest speaker, which is Kathleen McGowan. Kathleen has worked with our department in the ICAC unit for the last 4 years since we joined. She's been a crucial member and a support to us. And so we're going to turn over to her to talk a little bit about the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force and NCMEC, the National Center for Exploited and Missing Children. Take us away, Kathleen.
Thanks so much, Ben. I appreciate it. It's really weird to see myself on a screen on a screen. My name is Kathleen. I am the outreach coordinator for the Cook County Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. Had the pleasure of working with Sergeant Ransom for, oh my gosh, I don't know, maybe close to 10 years now, could be. So we are actually one of 61 task forces across the country that were actually signed into law back in 1998. We all work together for the same goal, and that goal is to protect children online as much as we possibly can. The thing that I think frustrates us and a lot of our members is that we can't be standing behind the kids every single time they're on a device, right? So a big part of our program is prevention. So we work with a lot of different groups. We here in Illinois are kind of lucky. We have two task forces. The first task force in Illinois was the state task force that is run through the Attorney General's office. Then back in 2003, 2004, they decided that Cook County had so much going on ourselves that we needed our own. So our task force covers all of Cook, so Chicago, and all of the surrounding suburbs. We go as far north as Palatine, out towards Burr Ridge, Lansing, Tinley Park, out south. So we cover a really huge area. We actually cover a larger area than a lot of the test courses have in their entire state. So we have 74 police departments, River Forest being one of them. We also work with the FBI, Homeland Security. The Secret Service has just joined us in the last few months. We have four assistant state's attorneys dedicated solely to internet crimes against children. And we'll talk a little bit about what those cases are in a minute. We also have two ASAs, two assistant state's attorneys that just review cases when our investigators have a case that they need to present to charge. It's their responsibility to review it. They also review cyber tips, which we'll talk about. They keep quite busy. We have one prevention full-time person myself. So I rely a lot on our affiliates. And Ben has also been great doing prevention information for us. We do have five investigators that are also dedicated through the state's attorney's office. So they will pick up cases in areas where maybe that police department might be short-staffed or there might not be an assigned officer to us. And once we have a department that belongs with our group, we help them get training. We provide equipment as we can. Like I said, we are one of 61 task forces that are federally funded throughout the country. Well, we also have had cases where we've worked with task forces in other countries, Canada, Australia. We had a case with Scotland Yard a few years ago. So we do get assistance quite often. Having a network in our own country is great because if we have to arrest somebody in another state, we can rely on our partners to help us with that as well. Today, what I wanted to do is just let you know what we do, how to find resources. One of the best resources that you can look into is to go to ICAC, ICACtaskforce.org. That's our main national website. That website will have all sorts of resources. It will have lists of every ICAC in every state and who to contact. One of the best things is it has links to other agencies. It has links to the National Center for Missing Children. There's also one, the Family Online Safety Institute, that has tons of prevention information for parents. So there's a lot of different ways you can get information. The Online Child Exploitation Prevention Initiative, which is a really long name, OSEPI, which you can also find at ICACtaskforce.org. We are actually one of 13 ICACs that have been invited to be a part of that prevention initiative. What that initiative does is we meet with partners, a lot of federal partners, a lot of private agencies from the United States, but also from all over the world to make sure that we're giving the best prevention information we can at any given time. So the information is there as well. I know they just posted some AI information that can be very helpful to schools and parents as well. One of the agencies, the Carly Ryan Foundation, they're actually an agency that started in Australia. Now, Sonia Ryan is in Texas, trying to get some of her programs started here. They have wonderful information for parents on their website that you can link through the ICAC Task Force site. She shows all of the popular applications, all the popular apps that most people use, Instagram, TikTok, which the kids are still using like crazy, Snapchat, some of the games. They have a tip sheet for every single one of those apps and how to use it. So if you do have questions and you don't want to go searching online all over the place, the Carly Ryan Foundation has that right in one handout for you for each individual app. Sonia has a lot of information. Her daughter Carly was actually killed by someone she met online when she was 15, back in, I believe it was 2008. So she's gone through all of this. She has gone through a lot of things that parents feel as far as not really knowing what their kids are doing online, how to try to make sure you're, you know, being a spy, a good spy, a pest, trying to go in, find out what the kids are doing. So she has great information as well. And like I said, those sheets are great. Connect Safely is another spot, another agency that you can link to that works well with that. So the types of cases we get, we work on child sexual abuse material, which used to be called child pornography. We work on harassment cases, bullying cases, cases where people are online enticing your children into doing things that they want them to do, whether it's meeting them offline, whether it's sending nude pictures, grooming those children. Also, child trafficking. We do work on those cases if it has a technology component, and sextortion, which has been a really huge thing in the last 3-4 years. So we get our cases two different ways. We get cases by someone walking into a police department and reporting. Just in the last 6 months, from January to the end of June, we recorded 672 of those types of reports in Cook County. And we also get them through cyber tips, which come from the National Center for Missing Children. And when I talk about them in a minute, I'll explain those a little bit better. But they get reports from people all over the world when they see something online. It can be, you know, everyday people like us. It can be other law enforcement. It can be anybody that reports to them. And just from January to June here in Cook County, we had gotten 10,228 of those cyber tips. So our affiliate police departments are always busy. Some departments busier than others just because of the activity going on. And, you know, your officers would be way better at telling you, you know, explaining to you what those numbers look like in River Forest. But they're always busy. There's always something new to learn. There's always something new to look out for. We've had 305 arrests in Cook County in the last 6 months. And we've seized quite a bit of equipment, just cell phones alone, 120 cell phones in 6 months. And they're still working on some of those. So, you know, we're trying to do as best we can to do that. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children is a huge part of our national task force. They were established in 1984 by John Walsh, who I'm sure a lot of you may have seen on TV. He's been on America's Most Wanted. He has a new show now that I honestly can't remember the name of. But when his son was abducted, after that kind of settled and they figured they needed to do something to help other children, just like Carly's mom did, they decided to create the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. They were created to work on cases of child abduction, to prevent child abduction, to help find missing children. They're the ones that do all the posters and photographs that you see posted all over of kids who are missing. They work on cases of sexual exploitation. Their cyber department has grown immensely, and they have started in the last few years to provide counseling, resources for families, assist victims as much as they possibly can. So they do have a website for the National Center for Missing Children, which you can go to for tons of information. For your kids, though, one of the best places to go to have your children learn how to be safe online is netsmarts.org. They have a program called Into the Cloud for younger kids. They're, I think, half hour, if I remember right, just snippets of different topics that they've turned into cartoons where they talk to kids about how to maneuver their life online. Because whether we like to admit it or not, kids are online an immense amount of time. And it's not even their fault, right? It's not even that they're always grabbing at that device. It's school devices. It's, you know, phones at home, cell phones at home, tablets. It's YouTube on your television. So they have access to the internet and some type of screen, no matter what they're doing. My 6-year-old cousins can flip through a phone on a tablet, get to whatever they need way quicker than I ever can. It's kind of amazing to me all the time, but we want to make sure that they have all of the good training that they should get. When I talk to parents and grandparents, especially older parents, they're always concerned that because they don't have the tech expertise, that they're not going to be able to help keep their children safe. And my response to that is, it's all the same rules we all learned when we were kids. It's all the stranger danger stuff. It's all the dare stuff. It's all the stuff that we've always been taught from different groups, and different agencies and law enforcement. It's all of that stuff just used indoors, used in front of a screen. But it's still, being careful who you talk to, being careful who you give your information to. And, not being afraid to talk to your kids about it. Communication is the biggest thing. The conversations are hard to have, they're difficult. Talking about sextortion, which I will explain before we're done, talking about sextortion to a 10-year-old kid is not a fun conversation. But a lot of the kids that are sharing nude pictures are getting younger and younger and younger. We have cases where kids are in fourth grade, third grade, using Discord while they're gaming, which should be a fun space for kids to be in. But all the creepy adults that know that's where the kids go, that's where they're at trying to talk to the kids. And it's not the fault of the kids, and it's not the fault of the app. It's the people using it. So to be afraid of it is very understandable, but you want to make sure that you realize you don't have to be. Right? That all of the tools that kept you safe when you were a kid are the same tools you can use with your kids now. It's just a device, it's just a screen. So arm yourself with as much as you can. Like I said, go to the National Center for Missing Children, go to the ICAC Task Force site. That Carly Ryan Foundation, they have so much information for parents, and it's so clear and so laid out. Go anywhere you can to get the information you need. Play the games with your kids. When I'm in schools, I tell kids all the time, if you want to show your parents you're responsible, and maybe they'll let you do something that you want, use something you want to use, show them how the game works. Play with them before you do anything. My 11-year-old niece, she got a tablet of her own for Christmas finally, and she wants to keep putting things on it. And I keep telling her, do a mini PowerPoint. Learn how to use your tablet the best way and make a PowerPoint for your parents to explain, why do I want to use this? Where can we find it? How does it work? And she's been doing that, and she's actually had a couple of things she kind of shied away from. So, and even in Roblox, a lot of the younger kids, almost every kid is using games in Roblox, but those can be a little creepy too. Actually, there's two games. One is Brookhaven, which can be a little bullying and very judgy for the kids. But some of the kids I'm finding out over the summer going to talk to kids at camp are they're getting away from Brookhaven. There's now one called Life Together. And Life Together is supposed to have quite a few. The kids were saying the conversations were disgusting. I'm not sure how disgusting they were because Roblox does have a habit of hashing out words that should not be there. But you want to make sure if you have kids, especially I would say 4th to 7th grade. I think when I just went to a school, we were talking to 7th graders about it, but they were telling me more how creepy it was than anything. Make sure you look at that. So again, Life Together, Brookhaven, on Roblox. But anywhere your kids can chat, anywhere your kids can use a chat room, Discord, especially if you have kids that are 5th grade through maybe freshman in high school, kids that game a lot, kids that use Discord as a chat room. That's something you also want to look into. A lot of the sextortion cases that we've had in the last couple of years seem to be going through Discord because again, they know that's where the kids are. They know that's where they can target kids in a large group. And the kids are using those that while they're gaming. So their concentration is on the game, right? Not on the conversation. So you want to make sure that you're kind of looking over their shoulder no matter what they're doing, right? A lot of parents will tell me, oh, I never would never do that to my kid. I don't want to be nosy. Tell your child you're doing it, right? Even if you have something on their cell phone that's tracking what they're doing, or maybe you have a setup with your phone company, and they have the ability to send you whatever your child is getting in real time, like text messages, pictures. If you have kids, especially under high school age, do that. You know, it's not spying on your kid, it's keeping them safe. But one of the best things to do is explain to them why you are doing it. Don't just go ahead and do it, because if they find out you're doing it behind their back, that's when the trust breaks down. So let them know, this is, you know, this is why I'm doing this. This is what we're going to use to keep you safe. Every phone company has different programs, different things that they can use for your family. And a lot of them have different price points. There's a lot of private companies out there that have a lot of different price points. I don't have one in particular that's better than another. That's kind of one of the things we stay away from, because you have to judge for yourself what you want it to do, right? And take advantage of them. Whatever your phone company has, use it, right? But again, talk to your kids about what you're doing. The National Center for Missing Children also has a program that they just started a couple of years ago called Take It Down. Take It Down is a program for people under 18 who have nude images online. What you do is you go to the National Center for Missing Children website. They have a spot where you can click on Take It Down and you can start a report. You can report the picture that you have of your child online. What they will do is they will ask you information about the picture, like where you've seen it online, when it might have been there. They will not have you upload that picture. Nobody that offers a service like that should ever be asking you to upload a picture, because you're trying to get the picture off, not add more pictures on, right? So they will give that picture of that child a hash value. That hash value will give all that information, right? And it will tag that picture. I want to say they're doing it every 2 or 3 weeks. There's a report that goes out to all of the service providers, all the different social media platforms, you know, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, that has every single one of those hash values in it. When that hash value pops up in their servers or on somebody's page, they are not supposed to post it. They're supposed to take it down immediately. So that has really proven to be a good program. It's something you can take advantage of no matter how long the picture's been online. You know, if it's something that happened a couple of years ago, maybe your child's an older teenager, you can still report that picture, because any company that's looking at it should be taking those down. There's also one for adults that I have not had any experience working with, but it's called Stop Non-Consensual Image. Try to remember what it is. No, Stop Non-Consensual Image Abuse. When you look at it online, it's stopncii.org. They will handle pictures like that for adults. So if you know anybody that's having issues with that, with revenge porn, you know, you break up with somebody and all of a sudden there's a picture of you somewhere. We've had cases where some of the victims of that post, those posts, don't even know the pictures were ever taken because maybe they were sleeping, right? So it could be anything. They removed over 300,000 pictures since 2015. So they're very active. They're very helpful. They say they have a 90% removal rate. So, you know, if you have an adult that you know of that needs help with that sort of thing too. So I wanted to go back to sextortion, because I kind of change track. So, sextortion, you want to make sure you're paying attention to your child's conversations. Make sure that you're kind of glancing at what they're doing. If they wear headphones while they're gaming, because they're using the voice features, tell them to take them off. If they're young, tell them to take them off so you can hear exactly what's going on. What people have been doing is they've been going into something like Discord, into a chat room. They go into a group of gamers. They figure which kid, they kind of hang in there to see which kid maybe talks the least. And then they will ask that kid to go into a private chat. Once they get those kids into a private chat, they start talking to them like they're their best friend. And they get a cell number at some point. So now they're texting them privately. And that's why it's a good reason to know, you know, what kind of messages your child is getting, no matter how you decide to look at them. Once they have that kid's cell number, they will send that child a nude picture that is supposed to be them. And they will wait to see if your child sends one of themselves. The kids that don't send one or that give them a hard time, they will leave. They will drop that kid in a heartbeat because they're not doing what they want them to do. The kids that do send pictures or videos, they will start blackmailing those children for money. If the kids don't have money, we had a sixth grade boy out in one of the south suburbs who told these people, I don't have money. Like, I can't even steal money. My family has no money. He sent them a picture of the house they lived in, luckily without the address on it, to prove to them that they don't have much of anything. And they said, okay, well, now you have to send me pictures and videos whenever I ask you for them. This poor kid, he sent, I think it was 3 pictures and 2 videos before he realized how trapped he was and went and asked for help. This is happening all over the world. It's not just, you know, an us problem. Most of the victims are boys. Most are seventh grade. We've had a few sixth graders across the country, but most are seventh grade till about juniors in high school. So make sure you're talking to your children about pictures. You know, what do you expect them to share? What do you not want them to share? I tell kids in schools, they should be asking their parents every time they are asked to talk to anybody or share information or pictures with anybody. They should have a clear-cut idea of who you want them to speak to. And of course, they're kids. They're going to figure out a way around it, right? And that's, again, why it's important to, you know, kind of spy on them a little bit, even though it makes you uncomfortable. But I can't tell you guys enough how important it is to just have those conversations. Let them know what you expect. Let them know what's out there. Shielding from things on the internet, I'm finding over the years, I've been doing outreach prevention for, this is my 15th, I hit 15 years in February. Over the years, I find that if you don't talk to the kids about it and tell them how real it is, they think it's a joke. They think it's something they see on TV and not in real life. It's more important to have those conversations, be a little uncomfortable, and get them to realize how important that is and what you expect. And that's the rule. And if you blow it, then we figure out what to do. Right. So just make sure you're always doing that. Conversations, make sure they know what a respectful conversation is. So when people start talking to them inappropriately, they know what that is, what it feels like. For the little kids, I always ask them in the schools, make a sad face, a scared face, and a confused face. Make sure they know those faces. Make sure they know what makes them feel that way. And if they do make any of those faces, that means they have something they should be coming to you with, or give them an alternative trusted adult, maybe another relative, maybe a neighbor, maybe their best friend's mom. But just make sure that you're being a little bit proactive, right? One of the ICAT commanders from Virginia had said once before, you know, we don't give our kids keys to the car for Christmas and not teach them how to drive. But kids are getting iPads and cell phones under the tree at Christmas or for their birthday, and they're unwrapping it and they're the ones setting it up, because maybe the adults aren't as comfortable doing that, right? The kids instinctively know how to do this stuff and from what they learn in school. So Please be careful. Do a little bit of research on whatever you're using. If you have any questions, we can do some questions here if you have them. If not, I'm sure, Sergeant Ransom can answer a whole lot for you. He's been, like I said, he's been with us for quite a while. He is one of my outreach go-tos. So, whatever works best for you. He also knows how to reach me. I'm more than happy to talk to you about what's going on, and even maybe give you some ways to work around some things at home with your children as well. Like shutting the Wi-Fi off at the same time every night, putting cell phones and tablets in a basket. Not leaving them in the kids' rooms. Just easy stuff that sometimes we don't think of, because it's not the most comfortable topic for everybody. So I don't know if anybody has any questions, or we can just do it another time. It's up to you guys.
All right, well, just briefly, is there any questions in the crowd? Sean, Luke, anything online? All right, no questions. That was a great
Okay.
presentation. You went through a lot of knowledge quickly, but really important things. I'm really glad you hit on all those topics, pretty much everything I was hoping you'd cover. So,
Great.
excellent. As far as the outreach and prevention, we do teach these topics to kids in our schools. Multiple times throughout their years. We hit fourth grade, sixth grade, eighth grades, high schoolers, even starting with early topics with kindergartners because, as you said, tablets and phone usages early on. And also, we have had to have those talks younger and younger to now we're having that sextortion talk to the fourth graders. And because that's what needs to happen. But I can say that we also offer a parent version of some of this training, which is the other side of the coin. And since we've started to educate the parents, we have noticed a significant decrease in the sextortion cases that have come through town. So we attribute that to the education on both sides. And that is a result of partnership with Kathleen and her team. So thank you so much for being here, Kathleen.
Great, no problem. If anybody needs anything down the road, just holler. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, so we're going to move on. So, just briefly, we're going to hit on the bike exchange. Lindsay Silver, who is a resident who runs the bike exchange every year, she couldn't be here tonight, but she did send over some slides and some information for us to follow up with. And I just wanted to hit it. We've partnered with them every year since its inception. I believe it was in 2020. So this was our fifth year together. And every year it just grows, and it's such a fantastic program, which is bikes are donated, and you can bring in your own bike to donate or trade up. So if you have a child who's outgrown their bike, you can trade up to a bigger bike for them. It's cost effective. Any donations, monetary donations are donated to bike programs, as well as any leftover bikes are given to working bikes. This past year, it's always in partnership with the D9D Green for Good and the VRF Sustainability Commission. This past year, 261 total bikes were donated, and this has always been done at the middle school, at Roosevelt Middle School, by the way. 169 bikes went to new homes, and 87 were registered by our very own police department. So it's a great way for us to get out there, meet the public, and register bikes. Registration is free. If you were not able to make it out to the event, you can go online to vrf.us, search bike registration, and you can register your bike online, and we will get the sticker to you directly. The next bike exchange event will be in the following spring, typically in April. $1,758 were raised for the donation projects. If you want more details, you can actually just Google the River Forest Bike Exchange because it was on the news as well. Or you can email lindsaysilver@gmail.com on the website below. So one of my favorite programs that we do always like to highlight. it. And it's been, I don't think we had all the data in our last community safety meeting, so I want to make sure that we talked about that. All right, we're going to go through some quick community updates. The 2025 Junior Police Citizens Police Academy starts next week. It is a week-long, 6 hours a day police academy based on real police training from when our officers go through the academy. We do physical exercise. We go to field trips where the kids get to see police departments in other forms. Sometimes it's a helicopter unit. Sometimes it's the Brookfield Zoo Police. Sometimes it's the CPD Marine Unit. The Mounted Patrol Unit downtown. Lots of good opportunities to see how police work in other forms. We do a lot of classroom time, learning about laws, learning about how crimes are committed and how they are investigated. And we usually partner with the fire department as well. This year, they will be doing a demonstration using their controlled burn apparatus to show us how the hoses work and how breaching works. We are all booked up. The camp starts on Monday, but you can always email myself at bransom@vrf.us or Officer Megan Drake at mdrake@vrf.us to get on the interest list for next year's camp. E-bikes and e-scooters are the hot topic right now. Some new information have gone out over the Village website, and guidance is needed for our residents, for the kids, because this is all based on what the Illinois state law says. So we do have some infographics up now that are help. And the three main things that that you're going to want to look into when deciding on purchasing or riding an e-scooter or e-bike is, one, what kind or what type do you have? Two, what are you allowed to do and how old do you have to be to ride it? And three, where can you ride? So, for instance, in this picture graphic here, we have a where to ride and roll, which tells you based on class of the bike or the e-scooter, where can you ride it? Can you ride on the sidewalk? Can you ride in the street? Helmets are always recommended, sometimes required if you're 16 or younger, and lights are always required as well. So if you go to vrf.us and type in the keyword e-bike, you can see the latest and greatest articles and websites put on the Village website from lots of painstaking research and discussions from our administration and our police staff to make sure that we have the most up-to-date information on what is required and what is allowed. So check that out at vrf.us. Again, another event that's coming up is the food truck rally through the River Forest Park District. You can go to rfparks.com to learn more, but that is going to be Friday, August 22nd from 5 to 9, where we'll have food trucks, craft beer and wine, live music, family entertainment, and recently announced that we are going to have a Dunk a Cop event partnering with the Fraternal Order Police, the River Forest FOP, which will be great fun, and donations will go towards the FOP. So come out and join that. We were recently, our officer Barsanis was recently highlighted on a news station, and she talked about the event as well. And finally is the upcoming 9/11 Lemonade event, 24th annual, and raised over $676,000 over the last 23 years to go towards children charities. This year, they will be partnering with Opportunity Knox and Thrive. So come on out. Any donation entitles you to a minimum of unlimited lemonade. And I think everything else that's involved, lots of good times, fun live music, lots of people to see and food to eat. And of course, always for a good cause. Just a reminder, there are multiple free resources here at the police department. We have a vacation watch program. We do free home residential security surveys, Junior Police Academy, which we talked about, and the emergency ID bracelet program. You can find out more by calling our police department. You can also go to www.vrf.us and click up at the top, get news, and you can keep get onto the e-newsletter to be notified when things change or any updates with the village. If you have any questions on our free resources, you can contact our department and ask for Officer Drake or myself, Sergeant Ransom. Now we're going to turn it over to the detective unit, to Detective Zermano, for a quick update on crime in town.
Thank you. Sorry, I can barely reach it with this belly. Hi, everybody. My name is Detective Zermano. I've seen a couple familiar faces here. I'm just going to be quick because my, again, belly doesn't allow me to speak much before I lose my breath. However, with all these events going on, there's back to school events also. Kids are getting all their new equipment and all their new book bags and stuff like that, but they're also getting new bikes. Keep in mind all the e-bike stuff that Sergeant Ransom talked about, but also if you're, you know, getting a new bike for your child that's riding into school or just around the town, make sure that you're registering it with us, because if it does get lost or stolen, it makes it a lot easier for us to locate that identifying information if it does. Unfortunately, gets stolen. I just had a case where the juvenile got her bike stolen, and she just purchased it last week, and it was a $900 bike. So it's an ouch for the parent, and it's an ouch for the juvenile that's out her real pretty bike. So just remind your kids that, you know, if they are making the purchase, that they're responsible for that, which means if they're riding it to the store or school or wherever they are, although it seems like a quick in and out trip to go get chips or soda or whatever, they have to make sure that there's a bike lock on it, because I kid you not, she went in the store and it was gone. It was within the minute. People are watching you. They're watching the group of friends go in. They're going to take it. You know, we have a lot of busy areas in town that are frequented. So just to remind them, at least register it with us, because if it does get stolen on one of those quick trips and you don't have that serial number at hand, we're able to look up your address, look up your phone number, look up the parent's name, and we're able to quickly track that information. I know within the last few years, we've been able to change that system from handwritten to an online database, which is even quicker for us. So our dispatch also has access to it, so we can tell them on scene, hey, bike should be registered to this address. Okay, here's the serial number. The way that helps me and the investigation unit, if we do come across that, usually all those bikes end up in pawn shops, quick ways to get rid of them. It works the same way a license plate does. We enter the serial number, and, you know, if a police officer stops someone on a bike that they suspect, you know, it's a grown man on a pink bike, suspects it's probably not theirs, they can run that serial number, and it would come back stolen, right? So they would contact us, and then we're able to notify you, and if there is a report on file of the, even if there's not, we've caught a lot of people red-handed that have just gotten their, you know, accidentally left the garage open, and the guy drove off on the bike, and now we're contacting the resident. They're like, oh my God, yeah, I just got home. I left my garage unlocked on accident. That must have just happened. I just saw it in there. And we're able to recover that immediately because we know where the bike belongs immediately. So keep any records for those bikes. And also, if you do service them, quick reminder, they usually have to take down that number. So we've had a lot of luck with, like, Will and Sprocket in Oak Park. We call them. They're very cooperative with us, and they help us in instances where we don't have any information on those bikes to call. And hey, we have this, you know, guy we just stopped. You mind telling me who owns it? Yeah, it was just serviced by so-and-so at this address. And then that's how we put everything together. Going hand in hand with that, making sure that your kids are also locking those garages if they're jumping on their bike and leaving to go meet up friends in a hurry to the park or whatever it is. So those are the two big things that we've been seeing lately during the summer, is a lot of real cool bikes stolen, and I'm really sad because I want those bikes, and unfortunately, you know, it comes out of the parents' pocket, so just saving you a couple bucks there. The other thing I wanted to touch was just a little recap on the ICAC presentation was there is a lot of apps that exist. Some of them that I just wanted to throw out that they have been mentioned and backed up. If you've ever, I know Megan just had Rich Wostocki. He's a big sextortion prevention guy, retired detective from Naperville. So he has an app that you can go on. I'm sorry, a website that you can go on that it's pretty cool. And he kind of talks a lot of how to talk to your kids about this stuff. He does school presentations and he has a lot of interviews and YouTube videos. It's called BeSureConsulting.com. Again, he's featured on a lot of stuff and there's a whole thing on here for parents to just look up tips and tricks on how to talk to your kids about the sextortion stuff that we were talking about. And we've also in investigations attended his trainings. He now dedicates his time to that. There is a lot of parental control apps that are third party. I mean, it's probably worth a couple bucks to save, you know, your child all that stress and trauma and having to deal with the police department later on. But I know the big one that he recommends is Bark, like a dog barking. That's a good app that's recommended. And I'm just looking off the top of my list. There's Aura, Bark, and just Googling it. Even Norton offers a parental control app where you can monitor those things that Kathleen mentioned earlier. Other than that, I think just wanted to make sure that your kids are being responsible with their expensive purchases. And I'm going to stop there unless there's any questions.
Yep. Great. Doesn't look like we have any questions. All right. Yeah, just to be clear, so these monitoring apps are third party. You can install them and on your child's device. And it's not super invasive, but you can set it up to whereas if their app recognizes that your child is being exposed to something like self-harm or bullying, it'll just alert you and kind of give you a nudge to, hey, it might be time to go talk to them. It's not like super crazy spy stuff. It is good. And I will say Rich Wostocki also helped us develop our programs for what we teach to the kids and to the parents. So we are using some of the best information out there from one of the best names in the work that we do. So that's a great person to have to mention. All right, that will conclude everything other than we will be opening it up now for questions the group here and to anyone online. So if anyone has any questions, comments, or concerns, now is the time.
Resource. It's so much information. We've attended maybe 3 or 4. But it's not all negative. It's not, community, this happened, that happened. All the positives. I mean, the police academy thing, I want that for adults. The bike exchange program, all the free resources. I appreciate that even though our kids don't live in this community any longer, that you talk to the kids and you speak to the parents. If the parents don't know, the kids aren't going to tell you, oh, yeah, we have, them come and talk. By letting the parents know, they can go over and talk about it. I hope that my kids that live in Elmhurst, that they're doing it with their, my grandkids out there as well. But there's so many positive things from, getting your guns left to getting your car seat checked. There's so much positive. And if people that live in the village should be aware of all the resources. So these, it's only once, every 3 months. It's quarterly. So if people would take more time and get more involved in that aspect, I think they really appreciate everything. And we all appreciate everything you do, but all the extras above and beyond all the policing. I was really distraught to learn that one of our officers was shot upon on July 5th on 700 block of Thatcher. That's disturbing. But, I mean, you risk your life.
You're talking about the police department monthly report, correct? Okay, not the incident summaries, correct? Which are okay. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I noticed that today the weekly is up to date, but yeah, there I did see that the May was the last one, so it probably just needs to get uploaded.
Yep, I'll get on that.
We have just the guy here to take care of that. Thank you, Luke.
Yep.
Thank you.
Having, you know, officers come to school and, you know, they're there to help you. And now, well, everything you guys do, from the students to the, to the parents, to the elderly, it's great. So thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you for the kind words.
Thank you very much. Does anybody have any questions or anything else? We really appreciate the kind comments. We appreciate being here and working for the community. It's a great place to work and live. Yeah. Right. We're going to try to do some kind of, as I mentioned earlier, I'm working on my master's degree, and one project I worked on this past spring was developing a way to incentivize people to attend voluntary meetings. Thinking of this as the example, how much great information that we put out and, or, you know, in my viewpoint, but shared by the audience. And the time that goes into it, and then some of the speakers that we have that, you know, we normally people don't have direct access to at least hear what they have to say, let alone be able to interact. But, you know, looking basically at that and saying, okay, well, we've got all this great stuff happening. We'd like to share it with more people. So it's stuff we're likely going to implement coming up here, a lot more community engagement with getting the word out. And some of that's, you know, social media, some of it's, you know, there are a lot of different ideas. It was January when I worked on it, but, you know, if it's, we have cupcakes and coffee here and that makes people want to come, whatever it takes, you know, I mean, it's something silly like that, you know, but I mean, I wrote that in my paper and my professor responded with, well, I'd come for a cupcake. I said, well, see, look, it's working. It was, you know, meant as a joke, but at the same time, it's really not. I mean, if that's, you know, if that's all it takes to get more information out to more people, then we will get cupcakes or pizza. Yeah. But thank you for the input. We really do appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions online? Okay. All right. Well, then we will sign off and we'll stick around for additional questions.